What's up, everybody? This is Will Pruitt here, and I am here to introduce you to the all-access version of the ProWrestling.net TNA Impact audio review. For you non-members listening, this is a weekly audio that I do where I run down the best, the worst, and just talk about TNA Impact. It's a lot of fun, I think. It's a lot of fun to record, at least. Impact gives me a lot to talk about on a weekly basis, and I'll get some plugs out of the way first thing. If you are not a .NET member and you enjoy audio and you're listening to this, so you like audio at least a little bit, check out ProWrestling.net's member section for as low as $5.50 a month if you take the annual option and $7.50 a month if you just want to try it for a month and see what it's about. You get a ton of audio. You get the .NET Countdown show with myself and Jake Barnett breaking down the best and worst in wrestling that week. You get the .NET Weekly show, which is the flagship of ProWrestling.net, where Jason Powell and Chris Shore, usually for 90 minutes to 2 hours, talk about the news of the week. In that, you usually get first look, first listen news that Jason Powell breaks. He's one of the most connected men in the wrestling media, and he breaks news on that show constantly that doesn't show up anywhere else. And you get just a whole lot else. You get the ProWrestling.net Q&As with Chris Shore and Jason Powell. And again, Jason will break news on that Q&A, or if you have something you want him to look into, you can ask him in the forum, and he will ask his sources and check that out. So again, it's worth looking into. You also get member first look news and a ton of other fun things, including the .NET members forum, which is just a blast to be a part of. And it's all for the pretty decently low price, especially when you look at what other sites charge, of $5.50 a month if you take the annual option. So enough plugging, at least for right now. I'll probably do a little bit more later. But let's get into Impact. This was the August 4th edition of Impact, and it was the go-home show for Hardcore Justice. This was a good go-home show from TNA. I had such low expectations going into this show, because TNA's go-home shows are usually abysmal. I mean, half the time, I can't remember what the pay-per-view main event is after the show. Look at their go-home for Destination X last month. It was nothing. And this show really surprised me. And I'm excited to say that it surprised me. I'm excited to get to sit down and do this audio and to say some nice things about TNA. The highlight of the show for me was actually the ending segment. It was Kurt Angle and Sting. In, you know, the classic wrestling contract signing, just cutting promos on what the match means to them and how, and that they want to win and that they both want to be world champion. I mean, that's what it's about. That's what wrestling is about. You know, it's about making that belt matter. It's about that being the ultimate prize and what men are willing to do to get there. The heels cheat, the baby faces play it clean and play by the rules. And in the end, good usually triumphs over evil. And that's what wrestling's about. Both of these men cut really good babyface promos, because this is a babyface versus babyface matchup. Sting dropped the entire Joker gimmick and just cut a promo saying, "I respect the hell out of you, Kurt Angle. You're one of the best wrestlers in the world, but I need to be champion." Yes, it kind of revolved around the Dixie Carter, Hulk Hogan, whatever, control of the company crap that TNA is doing. But it was awesome because it was actually more than that. It was about how he needs to be world champion and how Kurt Angle is a good wrestler, but he's better. I mean, that's what it's about. That's, like I just said, that's what wrestling is about. And it was so exciting to see that. On top of that, on the show, we had a few good matches that we'll get into. But let's jump in, just dive in right now at the top of the show. And the show opened with a recap of last week's Impact. The one bummer about the show opening with a recap of last week's show is when last week's show wasn't good, you end up with a bad recap or some bad memories being brought up. But I'll kind of skip over the recap of last week's show because it doesn't matter that much. And the show, right after the recap, we got Bully Ray, Abyss, Gunner, Mr. Anderson. God, who else is in Immortal? And the rest of Immortal in the ring? Let's go with that. And Bully Ray went around and introduced everyone. Oh, Hogan and Bischoff were not on this show, by the way. It was a welcome absence from them. Hogan did have some presence in the form of talking on the phone, but he, for the most part, he was not a part of this show, which is quite nice. And basically, the show opened with Bully Ray in the ring introducing every member of Immortal, and he finally got to Mr. Anderson and said, oh, that guy, he's just an asshole. While he gave everyone else a big, boisterous introduction. Oh, Scott Steiner's there, too. That's what I'm missing here. Scott Steiner. And that was basically what that was. And then he said TNA wasn't big enough for Immortal and Fortune. Mr. Anderson took the mic and said Immortal's not big enough for Mr. Anderson and Bully Ray. And he said that last week Bully Ray screwed him in his match against Kurt Angle. And he's a vindictive person, and they would, you know, there would be consequences. Then Bully Ray asked who Anderson is. He reminded everyone that Anderson is the guy who lost the world title after just 1 week in Immortal. And then he said that he, then Ray, Bully Ray said that he's in charge when Hogan and Bischoff aren't here. Wow, that's interesting. I mean, I get that he's in charge of Immortal, but I hope it's not that crap where they try and say that he has Hogan and Bischoff's power in the company, which is as yet undefined because the network rep was supposed to have power and all. There's too many power figures in TNA. We all know this. Let's just leave it at that. Too many power figures in TNA. And then basically, Anderson said, hey, you're not booked for Hardcore Justice. I'm not booked for Hardcore Justice. How about we fight at Hardcore Justice? And then Bully Ray spat in his face, and they brawled, and Fortune came out. Kazarian called Bully Ray, Bully Ray Cyrus. That's not even, like, I'm laughing at it because it's absurd, but if I'm rivals with someone, I don't sit around trying to think of funny names for him. If there's a guy I just can't stand, I'm not thinking of funny names for him, unless they rhyme with jackass, so I can call them a jackass. And then he said it sounded like they were gonna call out Fortune, so Fortune thought they'd come to the ring. And then Fortune all of a sudden started brawling with Immortal. Now, at this point in the show, I'm thinking, okay, TNA has this game they play while they're booking. And on every format sheet, the lineup for every show, they have on there somewhere, Fortune and Immortal brawl. And the game is that they can put that anywhere on the show, but it has to stay inside. And it can't change. You can't make it Fortune and Immortal brawl backstage, but no one sees it. No, it's Fortune and Immortal brawl. That's all it says. And on every episode, they just copy and paste that in. It's in, you know, it's in there. I really think that that's why we get so many Fortune and Immortal brawls. And that was it. Then backstage, we saw Miss Tessmacher stretching, and Taz was super inappropriate, which was really fun. It also is a memorable part of this brawl. It looked like James Storm got hurt. He did tweet after these tapings that it seemed to be legit that he had hurt himself, but he has been on house shows since then. So I'm assuming that a little bit of rest and relaxation was in order, and he was able to heal up, and really, that's one of the benefits of the TNA schedule right there. I mean, we talk a lot in, you know, any audio form, or on when we talk about wrestling in general, how grueling the WWE schedule is and how a lot of guys opt to stay in TNA because of that nice schedule. And this is an example. James Storm got hurt. He was out for a night, but he was able to rest and go back on house shows and keep making money. You know, just an example of what TNA can, you know, what TNA provides. Then we had a Mickie James making her way to the commentary booth, and shockingly, she did not ask Taz and Mike Tenay to join her Kickstarter project to fund her new country album. I'm sorry, Mickie James, if you don't have the $5,000 that you're asking for people to provide you on Kickstarter, I mean, the Kickstarter is supposed to be where, you know, non-famous people actually get their projects funded because they're good ideas, not where famous people go to beg their fans for money when they have it. Sorry, I'm a little upset about that for really no apparent reason, and I'm giving it more attention than it needs. For those of you who don't know, Mickie James has started a Kickstarter project to get fans to fund her next country album. Yeah, that's what she's asking for. In fact, at one point in this, on commentary, she went, Hardcore Justice, and I thought, oh my god. I mean, just like you all wanted to turn that off when I sang a little bit, that's how I felt when Mickie James did. I can't believe that people actually would fund a country album from Mickie James. I mean, that it's inconceivable to me that anyone wants to listen to Mickie James sing. Anyways, this next match was Miss Tessmacher defeating Madison Rayne in 1 minute and 27 seconds. That's right. There was a lot of just, you know, going to the announce booth. And TNA makes this mistake a lot when they have guests, people on commentary, is they focus on the announce booth instead of focusing on the action in the ring. And basically, the match ended with Tessmacher rolling up Madison for the win. That was it. And then we had Madison attacking Miss Tessmacher after the match. Mickie went to make the save, but Angelina Love and Winter cut her off, and we got a big angle where where Angelina Love held Mickie James, and Winter hit her with the Knockouts title, held it up, then draped it over her. And TNA seems to have been confused in recent weeks as to who they're actually building the big Knockouts feud around, whether it is Angelina Love or whether it is Winter that is getting the title shot, but it is Winter. And this was a fine angle to set up their pay-per-view match. I mean, I'm amazed at how little Mickie James matters in TNA at this point. When she left WWE, everyone thought she would be a big get for TNA, that she'd put their women's division back in quality shape. And what's happened is she just doesn't matter. Maybe it's because it took them so long to get her first Knockouts title, and that seemed to drag on forever. Maybe it's because she got the Knockouts title when injured, and then wasn't able to defend it or really appear with it. I mean, I don't know what it is, but Mickie James just doesn't matter. It's sad, but Mickie James really doesn't matter. So, that's a bummer for TNA. Back from the break, we got the Bound for Glory series showcase from the live events this weekend, and this is how you can see that James Storm, back on live events, looks like he's doing okay. Which is always great to see. And then we got D-Von against AJ Styles in a Bound for Glory series match. And this match, it had some overbooking to it. A lot of, not interference, but a lot of people at ringside that would distract the wrestlers in the ring. You had the Pope coming out and sitting with D-Von's family. And just a side note, man, D-Von must have a good deal in his contract where he gets those nice, you know, front corner seats for his family on a weekly basis. They never have to move. He just, boom, sits them down. I feel like TNA could make some money off of those seats, but it must be in D-Von's contract that his family gets to sit there every week. We got D-Von's family sitting there and supporting him in the Bound for Glory series, and the Pope came out, jumped the railing, and just sat down and hung out with D-Von's family. And it is lucky that they had a spare chair there for him. And then on top of that, we had Christopher Daniels coming out, setting a chair down on the ramp and sitting down and watching AJ Styles. And he distracted Styles, which led to D-Von getting the roll up and the win. The two hugged after the match, but Styles was obviously frustrated. And D-Von argued a little with the Pope, with him sitting with his family. And then Styles argued with Daniels. And it was a lot of you know, Daniel's going, man, I haven't been able to talk to you. I've been trying for weeks. And again, they're spending a little bit of time every week building up Styles and Daniels in a rivalry. It seems like, you know, that they're going to break apart. I don't know if I like the slow burn as much as I would have enjoyed just a straight-up heel turn. I mean, I get that the slow burn justifies it, but I think the way they're doing this slow burn with almost no focus on it, the announcers have not really mentioned it. It doesn't ring true to me, where a straight-up heel turn, at least, would have been mentioned and gotten some time. Yeah, so there was a lot going on at the end. It was an okay match. The D-Von resurgence, to me, it's weird. It doesn't make sense. I don't see why TNA has decided that D-Von's where they need to be going. And then we came back from a break, and They showed us a video package recapping the history between Kurt Angle and Sting, and every match that they've had together was featured, and they showed their Bound for Glory 2007 match? Yeah, 2007. And then they showed their match a few weeks later on Impact, where due to outside interference, Kurt Angle beat Sting, thus ending his title reign rather quickly. Could you imagine that in WWE? I mean, I know it's happened kind of like this, but a guy wins the main event of WrestleMania, And then the next week on Raw, he gets beat for the title. I mean, that's what TNA did then. I mean, again, hotshot booking, really stupid. Shocking, I'm complaining about TNA booking from 4 years ago. Wow. Then they showed clips of their empty arena match in 2009, and we got a lot more of that match later tonight. In fact, a full replay of that match later in the night, which I'll talk about soon. And this was a good way to make the rivalry seem like a big deal. But they had an interview segment with Kurt Angle during the match, during this video package, and he talked about how they were going to have one of the greatest matches in history, how him and Sting were going to tear the roof off the Impact Zone, and all of those things that TNA says about matches that don't... They just don't work. For lack of a better word, they do not work. TNA loves promoting their matches as... This is going to be great. It's going to be a phenomenal match. And there's a way to do that. You have the commentators say it. Mike Tenay and Taz going, two all-time greats in this sport, Sting and Kurt Angle, are going to face off on Sunday. Kurt Angle has never beat Sting clean. Sting, you know, needs to keep the world title. This is going to be a great clash. It will be one of the greatest matches you have ever seen. Tune in to Hardcore Justice. That's how you do it. You don't have Kurt Angle giving a sell that way. Because Kurt Angle selling it that way makes it sound like, you know, for the first 15 minutes, I'm not going to try very hard because I want to make sure this is an even match that we can call great at the end of the night. Now, I mean, and I think it's just a basic thing where of a good match, if I'm a wrestler and I'm going down to the ring in my character, a great match is one that I win in 1 minute. I walk in there, I hit my finisher, I pin him, and I win. That's a great match for me. It's not a hard-fought, back-and-forth brawl. You can call that a great match after the fact, and you can say, you brought out the best in me, you pushed me to the limit. But before the fact, a great match is one that I can get out of quickly, to be perfectly honest. And I think that that's something that TNA has missed when, yeah, you can call it a great match behind the scenes, and you can have the commentator say it, but the wrestlers themselves should not be saying it. And then backstage, we saw the Pope talking about his match tonight with Samoa Joe, which is up next, and we had Matt Morgan sitting in on commentary when we returned from the break, and I think this is a great use of Morgan. They said they were going to use him to talk about the Bound for Glory series and to enhance those matches going forward. And I think this is a phenomenal way to use Morgan and to really put over the Bound for Glory series at the same time, because Morgan does give it that sports feel. That's something that Morgan brings to wrestling in general, is he makes it feel like a sport. And I like that about him. I think the guy is underrated in that sense, that he brings a real sports feel to professional wrestling. But, you know, and he enhanced this match. He talked about how much these points mattered, how both men had zero, and how at this point in the game, you need to get 10 points instead of 7. I mean, just a really great way to put over how much this match means to Joe and Pope. This match was the Pope defeating Samoa Joe via a reverse decision in a Bound for Glory series match in 2 minutes and 40 seconds. The ending came when Joe went for a roll-up, then seamlessly transitioned into a rear naked choke. He locked in that choke, and Joe's eyes rolled back in his head, and he looked crazy. I expected him to foam at the mouth. Pope tapped out. The referee rang the bell, and Joe would not let go of Pope. And the referee got frustrated. I believe it was Jackson James who... Yep, it was referee Jackson James who then said, the decision is reversed. Joe is disqualified for refusing to release the hold. Your winner is the Pope. So this was your first Bound for Glory series disqualification, and that means 3 points go to the Pope. It was a... I mean, the match wasn't bad, but I don't know. It wasn't long enough for me. I know 2 minutes and 40 seconds, not a very long match, so that's not surprising, but these guys have had quite a rivalry earlier this year. Dear God, that rivalry was too long for me. But they had some good matches as part of that feud, and in this match, they just didn't get to do enough. Joe wrestled well, and, you know, seeing him lock in that rear naked choke was great, but I still wonder what they're doing with Joe. It's a losing streak angle, where he's dominant, even though he's going on a losing streak. But is that really going to get him over? I mean, is that... I don't think so. Then we saw Joe backstage going mad about how officials are holding him back because he's a threat and he will not go silently. So, basically, Joe is upset. Then we saw Robert Roode and James Storm ready to go out for their street fight, and James Storm's back, he was saying his back was sore, and he couldn't, you know, he tweaked something, and Robert Roode said, hey, how about you rest up and let me go? We've got a tag title match in 3 days. Nothing's more important than those belts. Let me go out and take this fight for you. So that was good, actually. The beer money segment, I enjoyed. And calling the belts, one of the major things in wrestling, was really good. You know, the most important thing to them was those belts. And I worried that they're setting all of this up as a way for Mexican America to become tag champs, which just would be the worst possible choice I could imagine. So I don't know. I'm worried. I'm cautious. I'm a careful guy, and I don't know if TNA is careful enough to avoid putting the belts on those losers. Yes, I did just call them losers. That's funny, right? And then backstage, Bully Ray was on the phone with Hogan. And Hogan, I guess, was yelling at him about challenging Anderson, and Bully Ray was apologizing, saying he'll find Anderson and apologize. Then we had our fourth match of the night, which was Hernandez defeating Bobby Roode in a street fight in 7 minutes and 6 seconds. This match ended when Roode locked in the Fujiwara armbar, is that what they're calling it? And Hernandez tapped, but Sarita was distracting the referee. Then when the ref was paying attention, Hernandez rolled up Roode for the win. Oh, and the ref got distracted also by Anarchy and James Storm brawling a little bit on the outside. I liked this match. Call me crazy. There were too many unprotected headshots in it. Yes, there was too much, you know, if your hardcore pay-per-view is Sunday, and they really haven't said if Hardcore Justice was all hardcore or not, but they've sort of made it seem that way. I mean, some of their advertising says it, some doesn't, and I don't know if they know what they're doing yet. But if your hardcore pay-per-view is this Sunday, you don't give away a street fight on Impact just because it ruins the gimmick. WWE does not put a ladder match on TV right before TLC or Money in the Bank because it messes up the gimmick. TNA would do that, and they have before. But, you know, that's TNA. But I really... Same thing. They put a cage match on the go-home to Lockdown. A cage match on the go-home show to the all-cage match pay-per-view. Just in case you weren't going to get enough with those 8 cage matches this Sunday, here's a bonus one! Yay! But this match was decent. Both men worked hard. Hernandez really shines a lot more in a street fight atmosphere than he possibly does in a straight-up wrestling atmosphere. Because Hernandez isn't a good wrestler, but he can pull out a decent fight, which is a plus for him. You know, and this match, it got over that both men are tough, and, you know, Hernandez got busted open, and it got over, you know, the heels went over the baby faces on the go-home to make it seem like the titles were in jeopardy. Good booking, solid wrestling. I expected to hate this match because I really don't like the Mexican America act. If you've listened to any of my audios before, I just rail on Mexican America because I think they are the most terrible act. They are so bad that they embarrass me. They make me sad that people watch this and think that's what wrestling fans are into, hating Mexicans. I mean, yeah, it's ridiculous. Xenophobia and wrestling do not mix for me. I don't care what the Russians did in the 80s. It doesn't work. But moving on, backstage we had Bully Ray trying to apologize to Mr. Anderson and offer his hand. However, Bully Ray, when Anderson didn't accept, Bully Ray apologized again. When Anderson finally accepted the apology, Bully Ray punched him in the groin and asked, who's the asshole now? Yeah, get those groin shots. This was a solid segment. I mean, it was awkward. One awkward thing to tonight is how they went from Immortals United or a little bit of dissension to, well, now we're having a match at the pay-per-view. And I feel like they moved too quickly. However, at No Surrender, they have the end of the Bound for Glory series, and who knows how Bully Ray is factored into that. So this was their kind of chance to do it on pay-per-view, which is where a Bully Ray versus Mr. Anderson match belongs. Unless you're going to build it all the way to Bound for Glory, and then you go, well, are either of these men booked in bigger matches at Bound for Glory? And they probably are. So this was your one chance to do it. So I get that, but I wish they would have built it up a little bit better. In our fifth match of the night, Austin Aries beat Alex Shelley in 6 minutes and 4 seconds in what was easily the match of the night. These guys... Now, the one problem I have with this, I think this is your money match in the exhibition right now. Alex Shelley is kind of a snarky baby face, and Austin Aries is just classic heel. A great heel, especially for the exhibition. A really classic old-school wrestling heel. And these two had great action down the stretch. I mean, put it together, you know, used some great moves. It was good high-flying exhibition action, but it all made sense, and it all kind of worked into the story of a well-wrestled match. So, I liked it. I really liked it. I mean, I've said before how into the Austin Aries act I am, and that's, you know, just a sign of how great it can be. But I think this is your money match in the exhibition. I think this is the match that you could have saved for Bound for Glory. Yes, you have him in a triple threat this Sunday, but you build it up. Maybe you have Aries get the title, Kendrick gets his rematch at No Surrender, and then you have Shelley coming out and saying, I've been against you since you walked in here, Austin Aries, and I want a shot at your belt in a Bound for Glory. Austin Aries versus Alex Shelley is your money exhibition matchup. But instead, they gave it away tonight in 6 minutes, and, you know, the 6 minutes worked. It was a good match. I know they're capable of having better, but I was excited to see it. I mean, it's hard to complain too much when you got quality wrestling on the show. And, Aries won this match, and basically Shelley tried to hit Aries with sliced bread, but Aries shoved him into the corner, kicked him in the crotch, and then pulled him out, got the brainbuster for the win. And that was his, you know, that was the big ending to this match. And then after the match, Aries kicked Shelley a few times and jawed with him on the mic, you know, said, this Sunday, it's going to be all about me. Then Kendrick ran out to make the save, and Kendrick kind of intimidated him, I guess, and his music hit, and I'm reminded just how much I hate Kendrick's theme music. It reminds me, you remember Mick Foley back in his early WWE run as Mankind had two separate theme musics. He had one that he walked out to that was dark, and one that was kind of happy that he left to, because Mankind was crazy. And Brian Kendrick's theme music reminds me of the crazy Mankind happy music, and it's just terrible. I mean, the music worked for Mankind because he was crazy, but Brian Kendrick is supposed to be a wrestler that I take seriously. Or, I guess. Kind of. Maybe. They followed up this really good match with an Eric Young acting lessons segment that I'll just say, this sucked. And I'm going to move on here. And the announcers sent us to a replay of Singh versus Kurt Angle. And Kurt Angle was sitting in the production truck talking about this match with, I think it was Borash. And Borash was asking him questions as they went through the match, and kind of they were providing their own commentary track to it. And this replay was okay. What I didn't like about it is they've been putting this match over as a TNA classic, and then they show us the match, and it's such just brawl around the arena crap that it's like, really? This is what you think a classic match is? This is up there with your Joe Daniels and Styles match? I mean, this is what it takes to be a classic in TNA. This droll. So that was pretty funny to me. And on top of that, the lack of logic in this match back in 2009 was astounding to me. Because I remember watching this one, and it was an empty arena match, and it ended with interference from the main event mafia. The arena was supposed to be empty! The whole gimmick is that no one can interfere because the freaking arena is empty. And yet it ends with interference. And it was the same, it's the same crap that TNA does with cage matches. And WWE did it at Extreme Rules, too. Interference in a cage match. The cage is there to keep interference out. That's the point. Sorry. Just a little bit of a rant for you guys. But it was just, it didn't make sense. So that was dumb. putting it mildly, but Kurt Angle again was using the "this will be one of the greatest matches you'll ever see" lines for him and Sting, and dude, don't make promises you can't keep. Kurt Angle can't go like he used to. Sting, could never go that well. He was carried to some career matches with Ric Flair and showed in late 90s WCW that he just wasn't capable of having a great match. And I fear that that's going to be his fate on Sunday, too, that it's just not going to be that great of a match. And I don't... It's a great idea in theory. Kester said this in his report. It's a great idea in theory to put over their past matches great to get into the new one. But it, when you're showing a bad match... And as a side note this week, I happened to stumble upon and watch Rock versus Mankind in the empty arena match from Halftime Heat in 1999. And that match was terrible. I mean... And they at least used a lot of... It was entertainment. It wasn't wrestling. And Vince McMahon even put it over on commentary as, this is action-adventure soap opera. It's Broadway and soap operas and and Hollywood and everything in between. Yes, that's what he actually said on commentary, which was ridiculous. But they... At least that match, I feel like, had a satisfying conclusion that played into the empty arena stipulation, where this one... I mean, it didn't really even have a conclusion. Yeah, Sting and Kurt Angle, empty arena match. Don't go out of your way to watch it, ever. Then we got our sixth match of the night. Six matches tonight. That's a lot of matches for an episode of Impact, by the way. And it was Rob Van Dam and Crimson defeating Scott Steiner and Gunner in 7 minutes and 4 seconds in a Bound for Glory series match. And we got Van Dam getting the pin... after the 5-star frog splash on Steiner, and so Rob Van Dam got the points, and this was a good tag match. I don't like Rob Van Dam in the ring. I think he's lazy. I think he's uninspired, and he basically said in a recent interview, I don't care, I'm getting paid. You know, they're not using me right, I'm not passionate, but hell, I'm getting paid, so I like my deal. And I think that's just crap. I can't say enough bad about Rob Van Dam saying things like that. It really bothers me. Because you've got guys in TNA who are making a lot less, who are hungry, and who want to make a difference and want to make an impact on the business. And you've got Rob Van Dam sitting there going, eh, whatevs, I'm getting paid. Whatever happens, happens. So this was just crap. You know, that was crap to me, and I think Rob Van Dam getting the win and being number two in the Bound for Glory series is also crap at this point. But the match itself was good. Crimson, Gunner, and Scott Steiner all looked motivated. Steiner continues to amaze me with just how much he's able to do at his age, at this point in the business. It's, you know, with his age and how broken down we know his body is, Steiner should not be anywhere near as good as he is today. And that, you know, that amazes me, the fact that he can do that. But, so, good match. Really, really solid action down the stretch. All four men worked hard, as much as I complain about Rob Van Dam. And then they had an interview segment with Chrissy Hemme interviewing Rob Van Dam and Crimson, talking about, you know, who got the points in this match. And, you know, Crimson cut a promo saying, you know, you got the points, congrats on the win, Rob. But I gotta tell you, on Sunday night in our Bound for Glory series match, I'm the one that's gonna get the pin, and I'm the one that's taking home those points. That was a summary of that promo. That was basically the whole promo. And WCW, when they did the Goldberg push, did something really smart for a long time. They kept Goldberg silent. And when they did have him do interviews, basically all he said was, who's next? Goldberg didn't talk that much until he was forced to talk, and then his acting was just dreadful. But they didn't have him say much. Crimson, on the other hand, has done a lot of interviews. He's done a lot of talking in the Bound for Glory series recaps and a lot of stuff like that. He talks a little too much for my taste, and because he's not that good at it. He's not good on the mic, so having him talk as much as they are really, it makes him look bad, to be honest with you. So I think they would have been smarter to... They would have been a lot smarter to have Crimson, you know, sit down and shut up and just kind of wrestle. But that's just me. We then got a graphic for the Bound for Glory series, and it looks like we have an established top four at this point. And that's exciting, actually. I am actually happy that we have an established top four, and they are Crimson, Rob Van Dam, James Storm, and D-Von. Now, I know TNA has a lot of time to fix this. I know TNA has a ton of time to repair and put the top four that they think are going to make the most money in the main event of No Surrender in a four-way match, competing for a shot at the title at Bound for Glory. But at the moment, Crimson, Rob Van Dam, Gunner, and Crimson, Rob Van Dam, James Storm, and Devon, they're not the guys I want. None of those guys are the guys I want main eventing Bound for Glory if I'm TNA and I'm writing this. None of those guys are the guys who really look like they're set up to main event Bound for Glory, and I think that's an issue that TNA has as they go forward is, well, now they've got to start booking this tournament and looking at the end game of it because they're that close. They're close to the end game, and I think Sunday with Crimson versus RVD and Devon versus Pope, that's the beginning of them looking at the end game for the tournament. And I think that, you know, they'll use that match to start knocking Devon down in the rankings a bit. You know, he's going to be a guy that places high but does not win. And it's, you know, it's this whole Devon career resurgence thing that they're going for that's kind of weird. And then we got our main event segment, and it was the contract signing between Sting and Kurt Angle. I already said how much I like this segment. Jeremy Borash, for one, handles himself so well in these segments. So official, so, I mean, it's an MMA-like presentation when Jeremy Borash is doing it, basically saying, and now, Mr. Angle, you have a chance to speak. Now, Sting, you have a chance to speak. We're gonna be official here. We're going to do this. And it adds just that air of reality to what TNA is doing. And it's really, it's a great way to show, you know, it's a great way to kind of push things over the edge. Again, it's all about just getting things to that next extra little level of reality. And that's what TNA succeeds at doing at times. And it's amazing when they do. And this segment was one of those times. And I mean, they had the signing at a podium instead of a table. That was weird. I mean, I'm used to contract signing. Someone's going through a table. And when we come back from commercial and don't even see a table in the ring, I was like, well, how is someone going to go through a table at this contract signing? No one did. And I'm not disappointed about that. But both men cut good promos about what the match means to them. I mean, yeah, again, Sting's got a little bit too into Hogan and Dixie and everything, but it was a good promo. And it was the highlight of the show for me. I mean, and this was a show that featured a couple good matches, really three good matches, with the street fight, Shelley and Aries, and the tag match. Three good matches, a good promo about the main event of the pay-per-view. I mean, just good hard sell stuff for the pay-per-view that I'm really happy about. And you know what? Now I think I'll just, now that I've praised that segment and really praised the show overall, this is one of the best episodes of Impact that I can remember in a long, long, long time. And now let me quickly see if I can bring up the card for Hardcore Justice here and try to, you know, give you guys a little bit of a pay-per-view predictions. And I do reserve the right to go ahead and change my predictions as we get to, you know, as I get to writing them on, you know, putting them down on paper this weekend. But I'll start from the bottom and work my way up. Bound for Glory Series match, Pope, D'Angelo, De Niro versus Devon. I think this is the Pope getting a win, and they're going to try and build up the, you know, I think Pope's going to go on a little bit of a streak, just like Joe will in the last month. So Pope gets a win in that one. Bound for Glory Series match, Rob Van Dam versus Crimson. They give it to Crimson. They're not going to stop the undefeated streak now. They're already doing it, and I fear what this match might be. I really do, because I don't know that these men can really pull out what they're, if these men can really pull out a quality match together. And Van Dam doesn't work that hard. Crimson's not that good. So, we'll see what happens. Best of luck to both of them, and I hope it's a good match, but I have my concerns. Knockouts tag team title match. Miss Tessmacher and Tara against Sarita and Rosita. Who knew this match was happening? Wow. Thank you, TNA website. You shocked me. Tessmacher and Tara retain. Knockouts title match. Mickie James versus Winter with Angelina Love. Give it to Winter. She at least, I mean, then at least maybe you can build Mickie up as a babyface challenger who's overcome adversity. But at the moment, Mickie means nothing. So why not give it to Winter, the time-traveling lesbian lover of Angelina Love. Then we have a special challenge match. Mr. Anderson versus Bully Ray. I think you give this one to Anderson. Mr. Anderson kind of needs to be put over after two disastrous world title runs that just didn't go well, and he needs to be built up for, you know, maybe in December they'll want him to challenge for the world title again, and I think you start building him in August if you want him to do that in December. Six-man tag match, Fortune versus Immortal. I believe this is Styles, Daniels, and Kazarian against Steiner, Abyss, and Gunner? I'll go with that. God, we just saw them in Lethal Lockdown. Like, we just saw them in Lethal Lockdown in April, and that was supposed to be the feud ender and the big one, and now we're seeing another six-man tag match with these guys, and I mean, I guess I'll pick Fortune to go over. I guess. But then again, I mean, will this match even solve anything? This is going to get overbooked. It's going to get weird and funny and not good. And then we have an X Division Championship match, and it's Austin Aries versus Brian Kendrick versus Alex Shelley. I think, you know, if I'm booking, I put Aries over. Dominant heel in the X Division. You've got 2 months to build him as that. As, you know, this heel who's stolen the X Division title and all this stuff. And then you can build someone up as the babyface who can win it at Bound for Glory. But this is TNA, so Brian Kendrick goes over because I hate that gimmick and they don't like me. But I'll pick Aries with the caveat that it's probably going to be Kendrick, but I think Aries wins it. Tag team title match, Beer Money against Mexican America. This is a tough one for me. I think they do want to break up Beer Money and have him go singles going into Bound for Glory. I think we're going to get you're going to get Bobby Roode getting up there in the Bound for Glory series, and I think you're going to get a match between Roode and Storm. Maybe, I could see that being the Bound for Glory plan, that Roode and Storm lose the tag titles here. They're both in the four-way at No Surrender as part of the Bound for Glory series. Somehow they cost each other the match. And then Roode versus Storm is one of your Bound for Glory big matches. I don't know that I like it. I don't know that I like them breaking up, but I think that's what they're doing. So as much as it saddens me to say it, I'll pick Mexican America here to win the tag team titles with massive overbooking and interference. Then you have Kurt Angle versus the world champion Sting in a world championship match. I think Sting goes over here. Sad as it makes me to say that as well. You know, they put over how much Sting means to the Dixie Carter Wants Her Company back storyline that has been going on and off for the last year, and I think they keep it going with Sting retaining here. Although they also put over how much Kurt Angle wants to beat Sting and how important that is to him. So it wouldn't shock me to see Angle go over here as well. If you're booking, if you say the winner of this match will eventually main event Bound for Glory, I think you give it to Kurt Angle because although he's not what he used to be, he can at least give you a good match in that Bound for Glory main event scenario. And I think at this point, Kurt Angle has a lot more rub to give whoever is going to win the Bound for Glory series than Sting does. So, correction, although I fear that it'll be Sting, I'm going to pick Kurt Angle to win this match and win the TNA World title. And that's the card. It's kind of a, I won't say it's a loaded lineup because it doesn't look that fantastic, but it's a lot of matches for TNA. It's a lot more than I usually expect them to have on a, you know, on a pay-per-view. And now, I'm just going to quickly run through some of the releases from today. WWE released a lot of folk, and I'm just going to give a few thoughts on each one. First is Melina. That's not that shocking given how she's been treated and the rumors about how she's acted backstage lately, but it is a hit to the Divas division because Melina was a talented wrestler. She just, you know, couldn't really keep her mouth shut or keep out of trouble backstage by all reports. Gail Kim quitting. Gail seems really discontented with how WWE has used her. And well, Gail, when you came back to WWE, you knew that this is what the Divas division was, so I don't feel all that bad for her, sadly. Vladimir Kozlov. That's not shocking to me. It's sad. I think Kozlov is he's a guy, I liked his in-ring style, but I hated his personality. And that was kind of a bummer. I didn't even like his wrestling, but I thought he wrestled a unique style, that Sambo Master thing. And, you know, it's a bummer for him. I also thought he had some funny moments in his tag team with Santino, but really, he's a guy who lasted longer than I think we all expected him to. Chris Masters released again. They were doing nothing with him. He wasn't getting over, and he wasn't showing much personality aside from his dancing pecs. So And speaking of lacking personality, David Hart Smith is the last release that we have. And, you know, I think it was Johnny Ace that said at one point, this guy's going to main event. Or, this guy's going to main event WrestleMania. This guy's going to... Yeah, right, Johnny Ace. No freaking way. David Hart Smith didn't have it in the ring, didn't have it on the mic. And it's sad to see a guy get released, but it's not that shocking when it's a guy like D.H. Smith, too. So, you know, that those are all the releases that have come out thus far. Black Friday is always a sad day. You always hate to see guys get fired. I hate to see in the wrestling business guys lose jobs. I hope these guys end up, I hope all of them end up, you know, making some money on the independent circuit or finding, you know, training, doing whatever it takes to keep making money in wrestling. But at the same time, it's not that shocking if a class of releases either. If more come later today, I mean, I also won't be surprised if it's a guy like JTG especially. That's not a shock. But that'll wrap it up for this All Access Audio. Like I said, breaking news on the site all the time. If you are not a .NET member, check that ish out, son. It's definitely worth checking out. It's definitely worth, you know, plunking down for 1 month of membership. Just see if you like it. It's worth it. You got SummerSlam coming up. There's going to be a lot of coverage of that event. You know, it's a good time to be a .NET member. Wrestling is exciting right now. We're all pumped up about that CM Punk storyline. We're all pumped up about what WWE is doing on Raw with, you know, the McMahon replacement, all of that. And you can feel that excitement, I think, on the site and in our reporting, and especially in our audio right now. And like I said, $5.50 a month if you take the annual option. There's not a better value in wrestling than the in, you know, wrestling media than the ProWrestling.net membership. Please check it out. And, you know, for the members listening to this, also thank you for your support of ProWrestling.net. Thank you for listening if you're not a member. I hope you've enjoyed this audio review. Hit me up on Twitter at It's Wheel Time, and I would be happy to chat with you about anything you heard on this, anything you agreed, disagreed with. And that's going to do it for this ProWrestling.net All Access Audio Podcast today.